You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The United Farm Workers are making their way to the steps of the state capitol to demand Governor Newsom sign Assembly Bill 2183 after vetoing the voting choice bill last year. UFW says it would allow farm workers to vote free of intimidation, in secret, or wherever they feel safe. Leading the 335-mile march that began in Delano, which is in Kern County, just north of Bakersfield, is current United Farm Workers President Teresa Romero. Our very own Insight assistant producer, Victor Corral Martinez, joined her on the pilgrimage earlier this week while they were in Galt, marching through Hope Road and the farming backroads of Sacramento County, and discussed why the march was necessary.
We started our march in Delano 21 days ago. We have walked a little over 300 miles. We want the governor to sign the bill, the AB 2183. That would make it easier for farm workers to join a union, to vote for union representation. Right now, the only way they can do it is in person, which is intimidating and doesn't promote participation. So we want them to have options to do it by mail, to do it in person if they still want to ask somebody to mail it back for them or to deliver it. So it mirrors the way that we vote in California for elected officials.
How did we get to this point where I thought we had decades that we've fought for farmer rights and we're still doing it today?
And that is very sad that in order to get benefits for farm workers, we have to fight for decades. We should not be marching today to get something that farm workers deserve. To me, enough is enough. People need to appreciate the work that they do, the importance of the work that they do. And they are the ones that through the pandemic, through fires, through pesticides, temperatures of 100 degrees or 110, 115, continue to work in the fields. They put food on our tables and we should treat them better.
Why do you feel that we don't have these human rights already established?
You know, farm workers were excluded from the National Labor Relations Act. And for some reason, and I know what it is, it was a racist reason back then, especially in the South. Most farm workers were black. And now, because once they're excluded, it takes a long time, a lot of effort, a lot of years, a lot of money to be able to gain these rights for farm workers. And we have to do it state by state.
And what made you guys want to just march instead of doing it a different method?
Well, we introduced the bill last year. The governor vetoed it. We needed to really show not only the governor but our community that this is important for farm workers, to the point that they're sacrificing their bodies, their work, their income, and walking almost 340 miles to ask the governor to sign the bill.
And what would you say to people that maybe they don't really care, that that doesn't affect them?
It affects all of us throughout the country. Without this workforce, they don't have food on their tables. That is as simple as that. And if they are working so hard under such difficult conditions to put food on all of our tables, the entire country, it should be something that we all should be interested in, and it's something that affects every single one of us.
And how's the outreach, or is there any support from the community or community leaders?
The community and the community leaders and some legislators in Sacramento have been amazing. They're supporting us, they're feeding us, they're housing us. They are making sure that as we walk, we have water, we have something, sometimes fruit. They stop at the side of the road to give us whatever they can. And that really tells you that the community cares, people care. We just want to make sure that these workers choose whether or not they want union representation without the intimidation, without the threats, without their cases where immigration has been called when they're voting. So enough is enough.
And, you know, we're on New Hope Road. Do you feel there is strong hope that the governor will sign the bill?
You know, we have learned through years, we of course are hopeful. We continue to communicate with them. We are willing to find compromise and middle ground, but we're not willing to sacrifice farm workers. So we'll find out when we get there to see if he's going to give us an answer of what he's going to do in our bill. But the important thing is we're not going to give up.
And how are you hanging up? I mean, this is a lot of walking. It would be a lot for a young person, an athletic person.
It is hard. You know, our bodies hurt. Our feet have blisters. But when we get to communities, when we see people supporting us, it just gives you the energy that you need. It's tiring. It's a toll on your body. But we're not, like I said, we're here to stay. We're not going anywhere.
How are your feet?
Tired, blistered.
So since you're the president of the UFW right now, you know, everyone's looking to you to lead. How does that feel to really have to, you know, whether you're tired or not, to be in front and lead the way?
You know, I don't feel the pressure. I'm excited. I'm motivated. I am happy to be here with these people that work so hard and then are marching and sacrificing so much. It is a privilege. It's an honor for me to be here with them.
And so I've seen very diverse group of people come to show support, bring water. And a lot of times we make it like a, especially farm workers, like La Raza thing, but there's a lot of different people. What does it mean to just have people of all colors and races and genders and identities come to support?
You know, it is very good. We had just Martin Luther King III march with us a couple of days ago, because this is not the struggle of one. It's all of our struggles. And people who are here really understand not only how hard they work, but how important their work is. And when farm workers are harvesting our food, they don't say this is going to go to a specific race. They're not saying I'm harvesting for Democrats or Republicans. They're harvesting food for all of us. So that means that we all get the benefit of their hard work.
So let's say the governor signs the bill. What's the next step? What's the next move?
We make sure that the bill's implemented, that we can then communicate with them, with farm workers, letting know about the bill, let them know what it would do, what the options are, what their choices are. And this bill is going to give them a choice, free and safe way of voting yes or no for a union. But it's entirely up to them without the intimidation.
There's a pretty good, strong caravan here. Does it make you proud that there's so many people here that are with you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. These people are here also sacrificing some of their time with their family at work, taking vacation. I've talked to people who this, when they found out, they saw it on social media, they came, say, you know, I'm taking a week vacation because I want to be with you guys. That is dedication, that is support, that is the power that, you know, the movement has in attracting people who care about farm workers.
For those that will eventually hear this, what do you want them to learn from this march?
What I want them to learn it is that we all have rights, but in order for us to get better rights for farm workers, we have to work 3 times as hard, probably 5 times as long. And I want them to understand that it shouldn't be. They're human beings that are here. They have a family, they have, like all of us. And sometimes, you know, we have farm workers that work seasonally. So they have to follow crop to crop. They move their kids. The sacrifices that they make are incredible.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we just listened to Insight's assistant producer, Victor Corral Martinez, interview United Farm Workers President Teresa Romero about UFW's 335-mile march to the state capitol. We're now going to bring in Adam Eckelman from the Modesto Bee and Dr. Edward Flores from the UC Merced Community and Labor Center. Thanks for joining us, Adam and Edward.
Thanks for having me, Vicki.
Thank you for having us.
So we just heard from Teresa Romero, the president of UFW, briefly talk about what the bill's goal is. Adam, starting with you, can you just unpack further what Assembly Bill 2183 will do and who are the key players pushing it through the legislature?
Mm-hmm. So 2183, this is an assembly bill. It is right now
under review at the Senate. It is predicted to pass the Senate and will ultimately make it once again to Governor Newsom's desk, where he will have the decision to sign it. Now, as UFW President Teresa Romero just said with Victor, he vetoed this last year. So we're not really sure what's going to happen. Now, what the bill really calls for, you can kind of think about it akin to a general election. You know, with the pandemic for the past few years, the nation in many different states, like California, has moved to mail-in voting as being, you know, really a general election right. And so, in short, you know, what the UFW is asking is that when farm workers vote and have the decision to vote for a union, that they have the right to do that from home. Typically, this happens at, you know, a secret ballot, often sometimes at the workplace. And the fear is that some farm workers feel intimidated and that they would be a little bit better off if they could vote from home. Now, that said, you know, there's some opposition from the agricultural industry where they say that this bill would lead to intimidation by unions, and that they say that this is not really akin to, you know, a general election mail-in voting process, because there are some key changes. There's some ways in which unions might have the upper hand here. For instance, this bill would allow for unions to collect ballots at any point in one calendar in a 12-month cycle. So they could give out the ballots in January, and they could actually file to the Labor Relations Board in December of that year. So they can kind of spend a whole year gathering ballots. They also point out that, you know, the union could fill out the ballot on behalf of somebody. And as long as they get that individual signature, they can submit that as a valid ballot. Now, I should point out that's actually the same as our general election. But in general, what you're seeing is this bill would enable union elections for farm workers to kind of mirror the mail-in process we have, but with a couple of key differences.
Why did the governor veto the bill last year? What was his reasoning?
Well, he didn't exactly specify in vivid detail, but what he did say is that there were, and I'm quoting here, various inconsistencies and procedural issues related to the collection and the review of ballot cards. Now, we're all wondering, what exactly did he mean there?
But it's pretty wordy.
Yeah, it's a little wordy. I think he's probably talking to what I said here, where there are some ways in which this is not exactly like, you know, the way you would vote in a primary or in a general election here in California. This, you know, you can give a ballot in January and then the union can collect it in December. The agricultural and kind of business arm here, like the Farm Bureau, they've also pointed out that you don't have to distribute ballots to everyone. So it's not like every employee necessarily would get a mail-in ballot. The union can decide to give ballots to those who they think are more sympathetic. So there are some ways here in which it's a little bit different. So that might be one of the challenges, but really, we don't exactly know why Newsom vetoed it, and we're not sure what he's going to do this time.
Hmm. Edward, I want to bring you in, and I want to hone in on something that Teresa Romero touched on briefly, and it was about the National Labor Relations Act. And she said that its exclusion of farm workers is racially motivated. What did she mean by that?
Thank you for that question. What she meant was that farm workers and domestic workers are the only workers that are excluded from the National Labor Relations Act of 1935. This was a bill that was negotiated with racist Southern legislators that sought to exclude Black people from having the same rights as whites. And so to this day, farm workers do not have the same protections as all other workers under the National Labor Relations Act.
Mm. You're based in the Central Valley, UC Merced, and you had the community and labor center. Have you heard if farm workers really want to unionize?
So we work with organizations, community, labor, faith, environmental groups. And the concern, generally speaking, is with the rights of all workers. The UFW was built upon a religious, social, racial, and economic justice tradition of being concerned with those furthest on the margins. In this case, as you're pointing out, agricultural workers that were deliberately excluded from having the same rights as all workers. And so an action like the one that we're seeing today falls into this broader tradition. And this is really about the rights of all farm workers. It's more than just about unions, because every farm worker should have the right to cast a vote free of intimidation and retaliation.
Adam, what have you heard from farm workers when it comes to the desire to unionize?
You know, I've definitely heard from folks who say that when they have that, you know, regular ballot at their employer's, you know, workplace, that they feel intimidated. And many of the folks that I've spoken to, some of them, you know, while I was walking and talking to folks in Turlock and Modesto last week, they shared that, you know, many of them are undocumented. I spoke with a number of folks who are undocumented. One of the representatives from the United Farm Workers told me that, you know, a pretty high percentage, somewhere between 50 and 70% of farm workers are undocumented. So they say this is a particularly vulnerable population who is not, you know, who needs special protections and special rights. And I will say, you know, mail-in voting is something that we're starting to see as a broader right here, but union elections and general elections are, they are pretty different. And I think it's important to note that difference.
I'm curious for the both of you. Edward, I'll start with you. If the bill is vetoed again, what is the next step for farm worker rights? And if it were to pass, what kind of effects would it have on other states in terms of agricultural farm workers?
So we've been seeing just generally that workers' rights have been attacked by courts, by legislatures for the past few decades. And so we've seen that unions have been in decline for decades for that reason. What the labor movement and its allies need right now are innovative strategies for building unions and building worker power. So the march that we see today is an example of that. Some of the recent campaigns that the UFW has been involved with that have been successful have been about advocating for a heat standard, making overtime pay the law, extending paid sick leave during the pandemic. These are all issues that extend beyond union workers. And so what we're seeing more and more of today is a concerted effort on behalf of unions to raise standards for all workers and to extend the labor movement beyond just unions. And so I think regardless of the outcome, we're going to continue to see that.
Adam, you walked with them in Modesto and Turlock. I mean, did they ever talk about, you know, if the bill is vetoed again, because it was vetoed last year, what their next steps are?
No, there's certainly this sentiment, and I think it dates back to really the history of the United Farm Workers, this si se puede attitude. You know, we're going to keep trying, we're going to do this again. And also to build on what Edward said, you know, when Cesar Chavez led a march from Delano to Sacramento in 1966, you know, there was a lot of momentum. And in the early years of the United Farm Workers, they tallied, you know, somewhere around 70,000 members. This was a small but mighty union that was organizing a population that had otherwise, you know, been considered impossible to organize. Today, those numbers are pretty small. You know, they estimate that there's somewhere around 7,000 members in the United Farm Workers. And so there's been a lot of setbacks. There was a Supreme Court decision last year that really modified the California Agricultural Labor Relations Act. And, you know, in general, unions have seen these setbacks. But at the same time, there's been some gains. I mean, we've seen Amazon unionize. We've seen Starbucks start to unionize. So I think that there's a possibility here that UFW is trying to ride this wave, you know, in favor of workers, and that this march, regardless of whether or not the governor vetoes it, could help fuel some support for the United Farm Workers and perhaps bring them back to the heyday of, you know, Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta, when they were really building momentum throughout the valley.
Adam and Edward, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that is Modesto B. Equity Reporter Adam Eckelman and Dr. Edward Flores, Faculty Director of the UC Merced Community and Labor Center, discussing the United Farm Workers' 335-mile march from Kern County, which will be culminating at the state capitol later this week. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.